Hey, it's Beth here. Over 65, super talking, never stopping. That's my mission. This is episode 147, September 19th, 2020. Okay, so, you know, a lot of things keep me up at night, wake me up at night. The one that's bothering me lately is karma. I'm scared of karma. Hindus and Buddhists believe in it, and that's a lot of people, like billion people. And the description of karma is, it's the sum of a person's actions in this and in previous states of being, of existence. And then it's viewed as it's decided in their future existence. So what that means is, in layman's terms, not Buddhist terms, I'm screwed. You're screwed. Karma is just gonna circle round and bite you in the ass, is what it seems like to me. And I've got a big problem. One of my ways I'm afraid I'm gonna get it really, really bad is that I was a terrible daughter-in-law. I mean, you know, I was young. I was, you know, this is like my, and I had no self-esteem, which is where all my excuses come from. You know, I got married young. I don't know. I got a million excuses for why I did it, but I did it. And, you know, even people with no self-esteem have to feel bad about some things. And this one I feel really bad about. And it's really, it really was this. They were Presbyterians. Kids' whole family looks great. Their garages are clean and orderly. They alphabetize their spices. They always look great. They don't have huge fights. They argue sensibly and they resolve problems. I mean, who can deal with people like that? No one. I mean, that's just totally upsetting. So they were all like that, every single one of them. They didn't have one drunk, not one idiot. They were all like nice. It was an impossible situation for anyone, I think. And my mother-in-law was like the nicest. And she was so nice to me because she'd been through the mill. Both Kit and his sister had been divorced. She was so kind to me, but I couldn't see it. I mean, and I walked in an odd way, I think. Kit and I dated for 3 months. His parents lived in Minnesota. We were in Houston. And he calls up his parents and he says he's getting married. And they said, to who? Now that was a reasonable question, but it bothered me. And I met them the night before we got married. And I don't know, I just, really the problem was I thought she hated me because I hated myself. And I think I made her nervous a lot because I was looking for trouble. And one time I overheard her say when she was at her house, Beth sure has a lot of plans. Well, I took that really wrong. And I mean, I was off to the races right after that. Kid paid for it. I was cold. I must have scared the, you know what, out of her. Now I can see it. I couldn't see it then. I thought that was the biggest insult anybody could ever say. And for all I know, it wasn't even an insult. She did try so hard, but I had a chip on my shoulder. And she would buy me nice gifts. She would keep her mouth shut about my parenting, which was totally insane. I wouldn't let Brett cry for 1 second because I had abandonment issues. I would run to him. The guy was exhausted. I mean, he couldn't even moan. And I'd wake him up and I would wake him up and comfort him. That wasn't God. I mean, I think he wanted me to go. So she just watched this and was very patient and very kind. She was the kind of woman, 50s mom, had the kids on the schedule right away. I mean, so she should have had a problem that I developed. I developed this problem of grinding my teeth. And we went on like this for 8 years. Nothing she ever did was good enough, or I took everything wrong, and I'm really not that kind of person. I just really, really did this to her, nonstop. So it was kind of funny. I was in therapy for some worse problem. I have worse problems. I always had worse problems, but this was a steady problem. And anyway, the therapist probably was bored with my worst problem and asked me what exactly my mother-in-law had ever done wrong. And I really played it up. I oversold the Beth has a lot of plans problem. Yeah, I really did. I was like, Beth has a lot of plants, doesn't she? I mean, I really did, like Disney witch voice. And the therapist just looked at me. And like any great therapist, she left me holding the bag on that one. And really, I couldn't find anything she'd actually done wrong. For 8 entire years. She was really nice. And she was really trying. So what I did next, I mean, I really felt it. So what I did was the next time we went to visit, and now they're in Hilton Head, and I invited her out to lunch. She takes me to this restaurant that is better than the Ritz-Carlton. I mean, tablecloths, great waiters, beautiful, overlooking the water. It was exquisite. And she was really, really sweet about it. So we arrive and we sit down and she orders a Manhattan, and I can't blame her for that at all. But before the drink arrived, I spilled my guts, like blathered all about it, about how I was in therapy and it was all my fault, why we didn't get along. And I misunderstood everything she tried to do, and it was because of my low self-esteem and that she was a Presbyterian and so perfect. I mean, I spilled my guts, every single detail. And then I take a breath, and I asked her, please just give me another chance. Silence. I look at her. She burst into hysterics in this restaurant where she probably knew half of the people. And I'm just looking at her. The waiter quickly puts down the Manhattan and rushes to go get her another one. She wouldn't stop crying. I told her I was really sorry I'd said anything. And then she started laughing hysterically. I mean, we are clearing out this restaurant. This is in the deep south. You can't do things like this. You can't laugh loud. You can't cry. You can't. I mean, even if you're not a Presbyterian, you still can't do it. We are in the deep south. So I'm just looking at her. And the waiter comes back with another, she has downed this Manhattan. I mean, choking, but she has downed it. The waiter comes back with another Manhattan and a bowl of cashews. Places right in front of her. For some reason, this bowl of cashews had a magical power over her. And she just circled the edges of the bowl. It was kind of a small bowl, like 2 inches, you know, in diameter. And she just started relaxing. And I was like staring at her. So she finally said in this odd voice that kind of was like guttural. She said, I mean, it chokes me up. She said, I thought you were leaving him. Then she cried another little tiny bit and said, and I thought it was all my fault. Like, oh my God, I know how she feels now. I'm her age. I just can't believe I did that to her. I wish I could just go back and fix it, but I can't. She said she was scared to death that she'd done something wrong with the first two marriages and that she was going to do it again. And she was really afraid because she thought Kit really loved me. I can totally identify with that, totally understand her now. Well, needless to say, from that moment on, we were sweetheart and darling. I swear to God, we fell in love in some oddball way. And we made a pact to each other that we would never let anything come between us. We would talk about anything that ever happened. And the waiter was thrilled because I told him the whole story. I wish I could see the waiter again. But he was older than she was. So I guess he's gone too. We gave him a 200% tip. I wanted to kiss him on the lips. And we did go back to that restaurant and the waiter wasn't there. Like a year later when I came back. It was like our rendezvous point. And we just, for the rest of our life, we never ever had another problem. But I'm still worried I'm going to get those 8 years in hell because I really gave her hell. I mean, she was scared to death. And if karma's true, which I think it is, I'm in trouble. So I looked up tips on how I could be a good mother-in-law from the very beginning. But it was all things that she did. So I really, really, really do believe that if you get a screwed up girl, like I was, it's not your fault. And you just have to keep plugging away. And I will say that Virginia, during those 8 long years, she would buy me thoughtful gifts. Like one time we were at this restaurant with them and it was very dark. Like it was the steak and ale sort of period of time where everything was clubby. My favorite going out to dinner time because I believe in Blanche DuBois lighting. I want the lighting very low. I want to just enjoy my meal and have everybody have a nice little glow on their face, but you can't see your salad. So the waiter actually had a light, a flashlight on the end of his pepper mill. I thought it was adorable. My mother-in-law buys it for me. Like this was during the 8 years of hell. It's disarming. And she would remember and ask me follow-up questions from things I was interested in. Nobody ever does that. So sweet. And then one time she read a book I was reading during those 8 long years. So actually, if I had that conversation with her again, if I could redo, like I want to redo so many things in my life, if I could redo that dinner, that lunch where she cried, I wouldn't say it was the therapist that did it. I would tell her she did it. Because I really do think it was her. I think that I had to have all of those experiences to believe that it was true, that we could be friends. It was really her. So I got a great mother-in-law and I put her through the mill. And I just pray to God that karma is just something that Boy George invented to sell a hit song. That's what I hope. And I have some John Luke mother-in-law jokes, but you know what? Right now, I just don't think they're funny. I think mother-in-laws are wonderful. I think they want to be with their grandchildren. I think they want to make everything work out. And I just want a chance. I mean, Matt hasn't brought home that girl yet. But when he does, oh God, I just hope she gives me a chance to be nice, to be friends, and so I can get my hands on those grandchildren. That is my big worry right now. So anyway, if you're a mother-in-law and you're out there struggling and you don't know what's going on, it could be that she is awfully screwed up and you just have to let her grow up a little bit and keep it like stay the course. Just stay, because my mother-in-law stayed the course for 8 years. She did not rock the boat. She never said anything to kid about me and my insanity. She just stayed the course and acted every single time like it was going to be better. And I guess that's what you got to do with crazy girls. So, you know, and I fully expect to get a crazy girl. And I will put in 8 years, but I'm old. I mean, I'll keep eating my Wheaties and trying and everything, but I just would love to not have to go through that. And I'm really sorry I put her through it. So what I'm trying to say is mother-in-laws are wonderful. Mostly, I bet. I just bet. So, you know, this is my crowd. Over 65 and over. Most of you guys are there already. You have won the game. I'm still waiting. I'm still like, you know, at the gate trying to get my run going. Not panicking about that. I just want to make sure I make the right moves. So, anyway, The whole thing that we're trying to do here is we're just trying to remain sane. That is all we're trying to do. So you do it, I do it, and we got through another day. So I will be back, but just know if your mother-in-law is just not working out perfectly, it could be she just needs to grow up a little bit. So, and just remember those babies. That's it. That's all you want is those babies. That is, I'm dreaming about them. I'm dreaming about being a grandmother. So stay sane, and I will be back. Bye-bye.